Thank you. Call to order, the regular meeting of the mayor and council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2022. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Ms. Hornblower?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. Crowley? Mr. Baracchio?
Here.
Mr. Baums?
Here.
Mayor Glucksky?
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was said so beautifully, second row. Thank you. So, moving on, now I need the approval of previous meeting minutes for October 13th, 2022, regular meeting and executive session.
I'll move that, Dougherty.
Second, Baums.
Roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yeah.
Ms. Hornblower?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Baracchio?
Yes.
Mr. Baums?
Yes.
Minutes have been approved.
Okay. Resolution 147-2022. Appointment of Jonathan Elmer, Sergeant, and Oath of Office.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hornblower?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Baracchio?
Yes.
Mr. Baums?
Yes.
Resolution has been approved.
Congratulations.
Laura's got one.
They're on. There
you go. There you go, Doug.
So that we see.
The camera. Okay. Camera's behind you.
Okay, that's our
problem.
You
got it back.
I, Jonathan Elmer.
I, Jonathan Elmer.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance.
And allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
And to the governments.
And to the governments.
Established in the United States.
Established in the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
And the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And I faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly.
And justly.
Perform all the duties.
All the duties.
Of police sergeant.
As police sergeant.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Turn back now.
Can't we let the door?
No.
I think you have a plan.
I'd like to thank Chief Castle for hiring. Not much of a speaker, so everybody's welcome to Short Casino afterwards. Thank you.
Real quick about John.
Congratulations.
John is the type of guy you meet him once and pretty much knows John. You don't forget him. Everyone in town knows him, knows his face, even when he's clean shaved.
Yep.
He truly is an asset to our department. He runs the inside and outs of our department, does evidence, does IT, does radios, does anything you ask him, pretty much. If you ever need a tool, probably has it. Garage loaded up. But, you know, call him tomorrow and he'll be at my house fixing my leak as soon as I call him. That's just he's going to do a brain in this room. He really will just, you know, go above and beyond for anyone in this town. He treats his department like family and he takes everything pretty seriously. So, if you're a bad guy, you might not want to run into this guy. He's not going to like you so much. He's got a great heart. He just got a great wife and a great family, and they've done a great job with him all the years. So, congratulations, buddy.
And now I would like to read a proclamation in honor of Steve Adams. Sarah, could you come forward, please?
Okay. Proclamation of the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands. Honoring Steve Adams for his outstanding service to the Atlantic Highlands Fire Department. Whereas Steve Adams joined the Robert B. Mantle Hose Company, number 2, in September of 1975. And whereas Mr. Adams diligently served the department and the borough of Atlantic Highlands for 47 years. And whereas during his time with the department, he served in the capacity as company vice president and was a two-term fire police captain. And whereas through his efforts and dedication, Mr. Adams received a Medal of Valor awarded from the 200 Club of Monmouth County for his actions from a call on April 21st, 2016. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that I, Loretta Glofstein, Mayor of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, do hereby present this proclamation to the family of Steve Adams on behalf of the governing body in recognition of his dedication to the fire department and to the Borough of Atlantic Highlands.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Was it something you said?
Right.
Shoot, John. Be good, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome, thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
It's a long service, you know, you learn a lot from people who volunteer like that. I mean, example I said, it's amazing. But Joey wants you to get involved, you know, he's still too young for EMS.
You get no unfinished, you get no workshop, it's just public comments now, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Rob, can I see your agenda in the packet?
No, thank you. No, I have the agenda, but like the packet. Give it back, don't worry.
Okay, he's a speed reader.
No, I haven't asked. But yeah, you never know.
Here you go, Rob.
Where are you going? Okay. So moving on now, we have no unfinished business. There's no workshop discussion. So moving to the public comment on the consent agenda items only. How many people are on Zoom right now?
Four attendees, Mayor.
Thank you. So if there's anyone with a question, please, Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 9130 Avenue. Resolution 61, the award to Nico Inc. for the road program. Could you just explain what the second column means? I think it's called the base one, add one item, and where that would be.
Are you referring to the CME October 21st report?
Whatever's written on the resolution. I don't know what that was.
$733,000. That's the first data you're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
So, I'll just go through the whole bid report right now. I'll probably clarify a lot. So, five bids were received for the whole project. The way I set up the contract documents, there was a base bid which included three quarters of the work. The contract then had an addition item, and it also had a deletion item. So. You see three columns on our report, which tallied all of the proposed contract improvement items under each of those three scenarios. So the middle column that I think was your question, base plus add, that includes the entire project, all the roads that were designed, all the roads that were envisioned to be included within the project. So you'll see that is those numbers are higher than the base bid item column.
The last column three, is like $240,000 less. So that's just backing out roads if it wasn't up to snuff.
Right. So it was six or seven roads total envisioned. I set the bid up, the base at five, and then the add would complete all the roads, the delete would delete back. The intention of setting the contract that way was cost volatility, right? Our bid pricing is coming back all over the place right now, and we have that DOT award deadline looming over our heads. So a little extra work to set the contract up this way, it allows the governing body to take action, make an award tonight. If the bids came in high, we were able to delete some back without having to go back out the bid.
Thank you, Doug. And the last question is resolution 163. acquisition of property. Is this the open space at the Detholz track or at Mother Teresa?
So that's an executive session item that pertains to the consent agenda.
Right, but is it the property itself, is it the open space at Detholz or is it the Mother Teresa property?
So I'm not sure if I'm...
Yeah, so I've advised the municipal clerk, when we have executive session items, the point of the acquisition of property being an executive session is so that folks in the public don't know what properties the town's looking at, so they can't go in and try to make the price higher. So that's why...
Well, I don't have that kind of money.
But I know, but like, I just want you to, the reason that it's listed that way is because I suggested to do that for future purposes. Mike LaPerry is the redevelopment council that was appointed by the borough to advise on redevelopment matters.
So redevelopment would suggest Mother Teresa?
Perhaps.
Good answer. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, so that's just for moving forward in general. I think it's good that we listed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Any hands up on one?
Yeah.
Okay, come on up.
Opened up, right, questions?
No, it's on the consent agenda.
Consent agenda, okay.
Okay.
Well, actually...
That was good practice, though.
It's his road on the...
It's on road.
It's his road on the list.
Oh, come on, back up.
Jerry Vassell, 4 Wesley Ave. I'm thrilled at the fact that Wesley Avenue is going to be paved. I've been born and raised here all my life, but I can't remember when that street was paved, okay? So probably when I was a little kid. I think
30 years ago.
Okay, I go back to where everything was peanut zone and stuff like that. In fact, the roads are gravel. Okay, that's just tell you how old I am, but that's what it was like. Okay, but one of the things that I found out is the curbing on Wesley Avenue is terrible. Okay, and the question is, and I spoke to you about it, is curbing put into this project? For what they have. The answer would be yes or no.
As we discussed, portions of Wesley are proposed to receive improvements to the curb. You're not going to see full removal of what's out there and full replacement. It's going to be replaced as needed.
Okay, let's you wouldn't have to do much in front of my house, okay? You wouldn't have to do my neighbor's. For the next house up, which is my brother's, it'll look fine for me. But I'm more worried about the neighbors. If all that curbing is broken, all the way up Wesley, from 7th up to Grand, okay? There's 4 trees in the one block from 7th Avenue to Central that should come down. They're rotted. I'd rather you do the project once instead of doing it twice and doing it right the first time, okay? Curbing is probably the most important thing that you need first. And if you did it right on 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, okay, and remove the trees, put the curbing in, that looks terrific, okay? But the majority of the town, there's a good portion of this town that needs curbing. You got to address the curbing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems is Central Avenue, from East Washington all the way down going to the highway. There's no curb. Okay? If it's peanut stone, okay, it's come apart. Okay? That's how the town was put together. We're all peanut stone curbing. Okay? You shouldn't be even put up any more peanut stone curbing. Only because it just deteriorates over time. Mm-hmm. Okay? Especially when there's a large flow, and I think you would agree to it. A large flow of water coming down those streets, Central, 7th, Navy Sink, Grand. Now, Grand Avenue is all cement curbing. You'll never have to do that again. You may repaint, but the curbing's fine. Okay. And what else it does it do? It brings people from their yards, because the water comes down, it takes out the dirt, and it becomes sand, and it clogs up all the drains. Okay. So, in your projects, think about doing curbing before you do the streets. Okay, that's the first thing you should be doing. Okay. But on Wesley Avenue, I told a couple of my neighbors, and
You know, it'll look great in front of my house when you pave it. It's gonna look nice, but it's not gonna look nice in front of their home. Okay? But there's a lot of it's broken up there. I went from 7th to Grand. There's even one house has an old penis stone, curving, and it's all down low. You're gonna see that once you come up there and you're milling and stuff like that, that stuff's gonna fall apart. And so, I don't know how much money you have put aside for that, but, I mean, do it right the first time, instead of doing it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's all I have. I don't know how much money
Seven roads are being milled and overlaid, so.
And in that 7 roads there, did you consider at all about curbing in that project?
So, you made a good point about the program that took place on 3rd, right? So that was a different type of a project. That was a reconstruct project where the utilities were all reconstructed, right? So that road was just disturbed all the way down and rebuilt bottom up. And at that point, that is a great opportunity to spend the money. That was basically just 2 streets, and that cost $1 million, right?
But you're not gonna have to do that again, okay? You put in the curb, it looks great, whatever sidewalks have to be fixed, you fix them. I mean, those streets look great, okay? And you can tell when you go there, this looks like a nice neighborhood right there. The rest of the town, there's plenty of curbs in this town, but they're non-existent, okay? Especially Central Avenue. Mm-hmm. It was a blacktop berm that they used as a curb that the town put up. And whoever designed on Central and East Garfield, you put a lip. You redid that intersection, and you put a lip. And you took the water from Central and diverted it down Garfield to 7th. And that's more water. If you saw by my corner, by my mm-hmm. house, you saw some pictures I might have showed you, it's a lake. Because the drains can't handle it. Okay? And we just added more to it.
Mm-hmm.
Something to consider.
Okay.
But my thing is if you do it right the first time, you know,
okay.
So you don't have to come back.
Thank you.
Virginia Keelan, 21 King James Lane. I agree with just about everything Chief Vasta said except, and there's places along the town where we do have that penis stone curbing, and that appeals to a lot of people. That's part of our history and part of the town, the feel of the town. I know places in a lot of towns when they did redo streets, it was up to the homeowners if they want to have that cement curbing coming down, or what they do is they just rebuild that penis stone curb so it would, as Chief said, that it will fly. You know, they raise it up. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, it's not this big out of the blacktop anymore. When they redo it, they pave it and then they raise it up. That is almost the same or not the same height as the regular cement curbing going in. I just think that's one of the things I love about the town, the peanut stone throughout. And I know that's why some people, for instance, there was a gas leak years ago and we lived on 45 East Mount Avenue and they wanted to come in and work everything out. And I was like, hold on. You know, can you pull that up and then replace it? And that's what they did. They replaced it with a peanut stone and also cement, but it still gave you that feel of when she first purchased the home. So I would just maybe leave it up to the, if you can, you can build up the same height as the concrete, leave it up to the homeowners. I mean, they might have purchased that house because that patch of the street has the peanut stone in it. And it's a big, huge part of the history, not only in Atlantic Towns, but throughout, you know, the Bay Shore and parts of Monmouth County. And the other thing I want to mention, too, and he's absolutely right about, I never even really noticed except for certain parts, but I never knew that Wesley does not have sidewalks. And to be a friendly town for walkers and bicyclists, some people don't know this word, but it's called skinny streets. And that you can put in, because all those people, again, who lived on Wesley, not the part that the chief is talking about, closer to like East Grand Avenue and stuff like that, they don't have curbs at all. So, I mean, I would hate to get everybody in an uproar, so instead of saying, hey, we want to put sidewalks in here, put a skinny street where you don't do anything, they're paying their property taxes out to the street because they have nice grass and everything. But you put almost like what we couldn't do on Ocean Boulevard. You put a lane and it's full of walkers and also bicyclists. When you're in there, it's not going to be any good when somebody runs you over, but it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, so maybe think about that, right up on skinny streets, it's something we could do to protect bicyclists and also walking.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone online?
No answers.
Okay, so let's move on to the consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 161, awarding the contract 2022 road program. And Resolution 162, payment of bills, $362,260.26. I need a motion and a second.
Murphy moves.
Dougherty, second.
Roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Are we approving the consent agenda right now?
Yeah.
No, I would like to separate out Resolution 161, 2022.
Okay.
So I just had a couple of questions for Dick on this. One's more of a comment as it relates to Chief Besto's comments on the curbs, because I personally walked East Highland with you as part of this, or part of another project that we carefully considered where the curbing would be. So was that done on Wesley as well? I didn't go on that adventure.
Yes. The majority of the curb is going to be reconstructed with concrete curb for Wesley on the Chief's block, as he mentioned. Not your house, because your curb is nice. Right.
I'm here for my neighbors, actually. I prepared for that. You know, that would happen. To me, you paid it, I'm just going to look great in front of my house. But
I really appreciate you saying that. I just know that I personally attended one on East, the same exact, like walking the street on East Highland, how diligent Mr. Romeyer was in walking house to house and seeing. So I'm glad to hear that I feel confident now that the same consideration has been taken on Wesley. And my other question just was, has MECO done any other work in town on our roads?
In your town? I believe it's probably been over a decade.
Okay.
Since they've been here.
Yes, I didn't recognize the name, but
I probably worked with them probably 5 to 10 contracts this year with them. So work is satisfactory, easy to work with.
That's great.
There.
Awesome. Thanks.
How did they come in on budget, Doug?
The lowest.
Lowest?
We have
they're
to be the lowest.
Below. Mm-hmm. They're the lowest bidder, responsive bidder.
Right.
And it's below our estimate. So there is potentially additional money.
Exactly. Thanks.
And looking into it, it's a woman minority company. So, all right.
So we actually had a motion.
I know.
Second,
so we're going to have to go back.
Why don't we just do the roll call over again? So we had a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda, which is just two resolutions. So
that we have a motion and a second.
Yeah.
And roll. So now we're going to do roll call for both.
Mr. Murphy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Resolutions on the consent agenda have passed.
Thank you. Reports, Councilman Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. I will jump into first aid. For the month of October, the squad responded to just 16 calls for service, which this is the best possible scenario here, best news to report. It means that the residents of Atlantic Highlands haven't needed much help, which is fantastic. Next community CPR training class will be held November 3rd. It's titled Stop the Bleed. Attendees will learn how to stop advanced bleeding and the proper use of a tourniquet. Certificates of completion will be issued by the Association of Trauma Surgeons. Details on this event have been posted outside the Senior Citizen Building and are also posted on the Facebook page of the First Aid Squad. November 1st will be the next monthly drill, and the topic of training will be on pediatric emergency assessments.
EMT members have successfully completed three refresher classes, receiving 24 of the 48 required credits. These credits are required to be completed within 3 years. These eight-hour refresher courses were A, medical, refresher B, airways, and refresher C, trauma. The next training class for the squad will be November 1st, and the topic will be covered. It will be pediatric emergencies. The Atlantic Highlands First Aid Squad would like to thank all that attended the Blue Mass, which was honoring at St. Agnes Church, which was honoring our local first responders. Atlantic Highlands First Aid will also participate in the Atlantic Highlands Day Parade, which we'll be talking about that shortly. The line officers are also starting to plan the annual Santa runs and food drive throughout the community. Details will follow. A great story that the chief wanted me to share with the community had to do actually while we were all in attendance at the Blue Mass. While we were at the Blue Mass this Wednesday, the squad received a call from two residents regarding two residents who were overdosing at their home, and it wasn't too far from the church. As the Atlantic Highlands PD ran out of the church to the rescue, our Atlantic Highlands EMTs followed right behind and were able to save two lives using Narcan and rescue breathing procedures. If you have any questions or interest in joining the squad, please reach out to an email address info@ahfirstaid.org. That's it for first aid. Moving on to recreation, Mayor, the Halloween house decorating contest is underway and at the tail end. Judging concludes tomorrow night. All winners will be announced at the parade this Saturday, October 29th. Speaking of the parade, this year's Atlantic Halloween Day Parade and Festival will be held on November 29th. Outside
October.
Sorry, October.
Oh, you said
I did say November. I apologize for that. Hopefully we're all aware that October is Halloween month. I am not, apparently. So, speaking of this parade, we will begin October 29th. The parade will begin down at the harbor. Lineup will begin at the harbor around 12:15. The parade actually begins at 1 o'clock, and that will come down First Avenue, making its way to Veterans Park, where the Recreation Committee has planned a Halloween festival for our residents. It's going to be a fantastic time. That will run from 2 to 4 p.m. There'll be live music. We have some food vendors. We have trunk-or-treating out of service vehicles out on First Avenue. That would be our fire trucks, first aid rigs, and police cars. We have a craft station, some face paintings, some caricatures, scary story corners, a mummy rap contest, and so much more. Like last year, the parade costume categories, which will be judged and awarded prizes, will be cutest, scariest, most original, best group, and best float. All rules are posted on the Atlantic Highlands website. I will conclude with just the DPW report, which really isn't much outside of DPW would like to thank all that attended the Touch a Truck event, which was successful, and spent many hours cleaning, painting, preparing for the event. Any questions regarding DPW, please reach out to Director Jimmy Phillips at 848-444-0067, and I'll leave the rest for the rest of council.
Thank you. Councilwoman Hohenleitner.
Thank you, Mayor. Briefly, because Harbor will be meeting next week, so I'm not going to give an additional report on that, although a reminder that the winds have been really high, and just to protect anything that's still in the water needs to be protected from any possible dislodging. I'll start with Green Team, because this past weekend when at Atlantic Highlands Day and Touch a Truck, it was great. I want to compliment Mr. Phillips and Mr. Farragina. I think that they're always super proactive, but after our last council meeting, when I had inquired about whether there'd be the opportunity for the borough to provide tables so that our volunteers weren't trying to bring them down and everything was different size, immediately Mr. Farragina and Mr. Phillips came up with a solution for that, which was it was just very helpful for those who were volunteering at the EnviroSense Fair that we'll see again in April. It was greatly appreciated, and I also want to commend Morgan Spicer for her beautiful artwork that was really made it great for the Green Team, especially to be able to promote what all. Oh, you're going to talk about that too, right? Yeah. So I'm not going to say anything about what Brian's going to show you, but so spoiler alert, Brian's going to say something cool.
As long as it's not your hat.
That's another spoiler alert.
So three things that happened.
And two things have happened in addition to that. The community pollinator garden at the senior center, the signage has been installed for the wildlife habitat, and that's been an initiative that's been ongoing, led by members of the community, Elena Gidio and Marilyn Surfin. But it's exciting to see this all over town right now. And then the Strauss Mansion was named one of these gardens as well, so there was a dedication on Saturday afternoon. I actually don't have much else. Open space, we postponed our meeting because multiple members of the open space committee wanted to attend the Blue Mass, so we were able to do that. But there is open space action happening soon because the borough hired a planner. We are able to have a meeting soon with this planner and members of stakeholders in the community about what the future of the property that the borough has acquired or will be acquiring on the waterfront near the Catamaran Club adjacent to the Denholz development. So that is in the works now, and we're excited to move forward on that. And I think Shade Tree met before our last meeting, so we've reported on that. I will say that Shade Tree members have been very diligent in doing the training that's required to maintain our certification. So thank you to the members of Shade Tree for giving their time, because it's time consuming. Some of these sessions are more than 3 hours of someone's day, and we've like only one or two more to go, and it's a lofty requirement. So thank you. There's a couple members here. So thank you to those who have done this training.
That's it. Okay, Councilman Dockery.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll briefly mention the apparatus committee for the fire department has received 8 manufacturers' proposals based on the details that the committee has put together. The committee will be going through these proposals, which are about 100 pages each, over the next few weeks, and are hoping to narrow the manufacturers down. So that process is continuing. Environmental Commission met this past Tuesday, October 25th. The commission enjoyed 2 presentations. The first by Atlantic Islands resident Paul Wright. He's a member of the commission. He gave a presentation to the group on sustainable urban mobility plans, which is an approach for communities both large and small to look at community planning and mobility more holistically, and discussed how this could be a framework for approaching projects and plans across nearly all borough committees, departments, etc. Professionally, Mr. Wright works in strategic ecosystems development and analytics. Yes, and then our second presentation was Atlantic Islands resident Sarah Colasoto gave a presentation on resilient Atlantic Highlands, where she discussed likely local impacts from the climate crisis, such as sea level rise, flooding, etc. Professionally, Ms. Colasoto is a senior climate resilience specialist at the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. I mention what they do professionally because I think we're very fortunate here in this community to have such professionals with considerable expertise volunteering their time for these presentations, so thank you to both of them. The numbers are in for the Clean Ocean Action Beach Sweeps, which took place on Saturday. 64 volunteers, led by waterfront steward and captain Linda Pengritters, collected 3,933 pieces of litter from our beaches. This is always my favorite part of the report. Some unusual items collected included a crutch, a gas cap, shoes, oil bottles, shotgun shells, and diapers, in addition to lots of straws and bottle caps and cans. So many thanks to Linda and all the volunteers for giving of their time, including Mayor Gluckstein. Thank you again for being
here. Love it.
Finally, anyone who is at the Atlantic Highlands, they may have already seen this. If not, here is the fantastic trail map that resident Morgan Spicer produced for our Lenape Woods Preserve. So she did an unbelievable job on this. So thank you to Morgan. And again, it's terrific that people, residents in our community with such skills and talent are volunteering them. So thank you all. I have nothing to add to Shade Tree. Parking Committee met last Thursday, the 20th. There was follow-up discussion within the group to Mr. Wright's urban mobility plan that he presented back in September. At the meeting, the committee agreed that he should give this aforementioned presentation to the Environmental Commission. So it's a bit of a thing that happened in the past that he did do so. The committee agreed to add new subsections to the meeting agendas for future meetings, which include sustainability and environmental issues. And finally, tomorrow is game one of the World Series, and I will give a very subdued and gentle
Go Phillies.
Go Phillies. That is my report. Thank you, Mayor.
All righty. Councilman Barakia.
Hi.
I'm going to be a Phillies fan, my friend.
Okay. Nothing big on finance to do. We're having our annual audit. It's not finished yet. We'll get a report when it's done. Don't expect anything major. It's nice to know we had bids come in lower for the road program, because that always helps the budget going into next year. The harbor, as Ms. Hohenleitner said, meeting's next week, but I was looking at the numbers, and it looks like, you know, the nice thing is, it looks like we're going to finish ahead year over year again, and that'll put us somewhere around 5 consecutive years of increased revenue. So more revenue, more profit, and a healthier harbor. This year we spent, you know, almost $1 million in repairs, so it's good to know the harbor's busy and making money, so we can keep it in tip-top shape. On tech, Ms. Crowley's not here, but I thought he'd be here by now. He was just getting off the plane when we last talked, but he and I were at Atlanta Collins Day showing off the AM radio. A lot of people were interested. We're just showing how it worked, but yesterday, I was working in the morning, but he had set it up, and I met him around lunchtime, and we drove through the entire town. And we just checked it to see the reception, and reception was great throughout the town, no matter where we went. We went all the way east side, west side, the lowest spots we could find, places where we knew, you know, in the hilly areas where the hill would block the signal possibly. Again, it was really nice. So I think that's going to be very successful. And one of the things I after seeing how good it was, I thought, you know what would be really nice, and we're going to check into this, maybe we could take the recordings of the council meetings, pipe them in the following day, so if you can't make the council meeting or you're working at night, can't be online, and you're home the next day, you just turn your AM radio on and you can hear it. Maybe you do it at 9 o'clock, noon, maybe 4 o'clock or in the evening that day, and you can, if you're just working on the house or you know, cooking dinner, you can listen. Just one more way to open up and get people involved.
Was that, when you were driving around, was it on your car radio, or what?
It was on a car radio. I also had a handheld radio.
On that, too.
Yeah, and it worked on that, too. And actually, I disconnected the antenna on mine, because it's not like, a car gets really good reception. Mm-hmm. I disconnected the antenna, and it worked great until we get really low down and want to put the antenna in. Worked good, too. So basically told me any decent radio, and I think Mr. Fisher was also on the phone, right? You had a wind-up radio, and that worked good, too. So it looks like it's going to work on pretty much any radio. There's probably some that won't, but in the average radio, it should be just fine.
He had it on at the touch of truck, and I was on 1690, and I drove around and perfect.
Yeah, it's nice and it's clear. Mm-hmm. You know, it's 15. It's actually 10 watts. It could be bumped up to 15. 10 watts is really plenty. It'll be great, you know, during the storm when there's a lot of thunder and lightning, you're going to have a lot of static, because it's the same wavelength, the same frequency, actually as AM, but you can hear it if you have to over and over. It's after the storm, next day you get out. I know with Sandy and with Irene, the next day walking out of the house, I didn't have power for 10 days, and I used the radio quite a bit to hear what was going on around, not in town because we didn't have it, but everywhere else. And so when you're walking out and you're trying to figure out what's going on, this is going to be a great thing to have. Anyway, so we're very happy about that. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Bohms.
Thank you. Congratulations to Sergeant Elmer on his promotion. I know he's going to do a great job. In case you missed it, there was a nice article on Officer Erica Hoffman and her father. They're the first father-daughter team to both serve as state delegates for their local unions at the same time, so that's pretty neat. Congratulations to all those who participated in Touch a Truck. Great job. And then especially Harry Murtha, who then went on to run over to do Trunk or Treat. I didn't see him over in Highlands, but I understand he was quite the act.
And bless them for being next to those sirens the whole time. Oh, the police department was right in the line. Oh.
Detective Morgan, along with thousands of other officers from around the country, traveled up to Bristol, Connecticut last week to pay their respects for two fallen heroes in blue that made the ultimate sacrifice, Lieutenant Dustin Demonte and Sergeant Alex Homsey's funeral in Bristol. The dedication of our officers in this community is just, it's amazing. They go far and above and beyond everything that everybody else will do. Saturday's National Take Back Initiative, which from 10 to 2 at our headquarters here. The goal is for residents to get rid of any home unused medications which you may have at home that you're not going to use. Rather, flush them down the toilet, bring them down here, they'll dispose of them properly. Again, that's 10 to 2 at the headquarters for any medication. Mr. Murphy already mentioned the blue masks. DPW's done, OEM, Director Weimer, other members, including myself, continue to take various different classes, both online and in person for OEM. And that's all I have. Oh, and Atlantic Island's first aid task force has not met since our last meeting. We're waiting on some answers to come back from the attorney.
Can I ask a question on the police? Just because the police department posted it and then we had a conversation. So they've been doing this great initiative to lock your car at night. So the South Avenue situation, were any of the cars broken into or were they all open?
So I should have mentioned that. So you should be locking your cars again. We did have an incident on South Avenue last week, about 2 o'clock in the morning. Three individuals approached one of the residents. They tried to open the doors to the vehicles. They were unsuccessful. The cars were locked. But, you know, for the record, everybody should be locking their doors, making sure they're locked. Our officers are going around. They find a vehicle that's unlocked, and they're leaving a little piece of paper underneath your windshield reminding you, looks like a ticket. Don't worry if you get it. Maybe it is a ticket. But for the most part, it's probably because the car unlocked, and they just don't want to see anything get stolen.
So there was nothing was stolen then on South?
Nope.
Okay.
But they did get good pictures of them on camera.
Okay. Good?
Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor. The borough will be making notice for professional services, for professional RFPs November 1st with a December 14th return date. Per my request, the county began repairing the staircase on Bridge MT-50 on East Mount Avenue over Grand Avenue this past Tuesday. Repairs will end tomorrow, Friday the 28th. The county used a detour yesterday and will do so tomorrow again to repair the cracks located on the underside of the arch. The detour information was passed on to the first responders in the community, as well as being posted for residents on social media and the website. The full closure barriers will be lifted at the end of the shift tomorrow, which should occur around 3:30, 4 o'clock. Per my request, the county has painted fresh new center road lines, the yellow double lines on First Avenue and Ocean Boulevard, which obviously are both county roads. Regarding the LEAP grant, we have had several inquiries in past council meetings regarding reimbursement for the Atlantic Highlands portion that was paid to Seabright. The borough of Seabright and their attorney will be working on an appeal letter to the DCA and the state to seek reimbursement so Seabright could then reimburse both Highlands and Atlantic Highlands. Seabright will keep us posted. The borough of Atlantic Highlands has received a dividend payment from the Central Jersey Health Insurance Fund, the HIF, in the amount of $45,166. I reached out recently to JCP&L regarding the double pole on First Avenue in front of 78 First. That's right in front of the Bungalow Road store. This will be on schedule for the week of November 7th for JCP&L to complete the transfer of the lines and to remove the old pole. Obviously, it's contingent upon weather. Per my request 2 days ago with the state and the local government affairs representative at Verizon, their field team arrived early this morning to secure the hanging wire across Sutton Walk. So for those of you who had seen that wire that was there for a couple days, they came immediately this morning and re-secured it. We received the BPI best practices inventory from our CFO. The BPI is an annual review of municipalities. The purpose of the BPI is to grade municipalities on various aspects of operations, such as personnel, ethics, finance, transparency, etc. The BPA is required to be filed in the FAST system by November 10th, 2022. Our CFO will be submitting by the deadline. I am pleased to announce that Atlantic Highlands has obtained a score of 27.5 out of a required 24 minimum to retain our full state aid. Basically, this is good news because we have the required points to maintain full state aid, so we're good to go. We received notice from the Monmouth County Clerk of a resolution establishing a County Opioid Advisory Council for the disbursement of settlement funds from the National Opioid Litigation Settlement adopted by the Monmouth County Board of County Commissioners on October 13th, 2022. And that is all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Real quick. Earlier in the week, I had asked about LSVs. Did you have a chance to look into that?
The
low-speed vehicles?
Yeah, so basically the go-karts.
Golf carts.
Golf carts, go-kart, yeah. So, yeah, I did look into it. In fact, I consulted with the municipal, our municipal attorney, as well as the chief of police. All three of us did our own research. And basically, in a nutshell, these golf cart type vehicles are becoming very popular, especially in more of the beach communities, like Seabright, Monmouth Beach, etc. A lot of folks are purchasing them and riding back and forth to the beach because they're convenient, right? They're small, they're convenient, you can park a little bit easier with them. They're mostly electric. There are some that are not, but they're mostly electric. So generally speaking, at a high level, they are required by state law, and jump in, counselor, if I'm incorrect on any of this, unless a municipality passes an ordinance prohibiting them, right?
Right.
So in our case, because we don't have an existing ordinance prohibiting them, they're automatically allowed by law. However, having said that, there are certain parameters that they have to comply with. They have to be registered, they have to be insured, they have to have a license plate, which if they have one, it has to be in the back. If it's in the evening hours, it has to have lighting, has to have rear mirror, etc. I don't think they can exceed 25 miles an hour. They're not allowed on state roads. So in our case, for example, if someone had one and they wanted to cross over Route 36, they could cross over straight, but they couldn't make a left and then a right, or a right and then a left. That would be in violation and subject to a ticket or what have you. So those are basically the highlights.
Good, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Several people had asked last weekend, so we just figured to bring it to everybody's attention. Before COVID, the question was approached between the chief and I, and COVID hit, we never got any further. So.
Yeah, no, it's a great question because they are becoming more popular.
Yeah, I just spoke with actually last year with Adam, prior to that with Adam, and the chief's former chief was all for it, but it was a good idea. It just said that I have seen them since they came to.
Correct, that's one of the requirements.
That's
right.
All those requirements, but I think it's also a good idea.
It's a good idea to have them or not have them?
Well, I think it helps with like parking, right?
Oh, right.
That's definitely a factor. But then I think when we talked about risk factors involved, I think that's where the conversation
is. Got it.
I still think they're cool.
Okay. So, Mr. Senna.
A brief report, Mayor. I was asked by the administrator what the borough can do, if anything, with regard to short-term rentals, hot topic in municipal law. I'll use Asbury Park as an example. They have a comprehensive ordinance that regulates, I hate to use Airbnbs, I'll just call them short-term rentals, but people refer to it as Airbnb. It regulates them. You can't outright ban something like that, a short-term rental, because people have a right to rent their property, but you can regulate it. So you can require them to register and so on and so forth. As it currently stands, anytime there's a change in occupancy, they're required to get a CO. Of course, that's the ones that you know about, right?
Right.
But, you know, in Asbury Park, it was an issue. I don't know if it's an issue here in town, but something to think about. So if somebody's thought of it before, and it's out there in Monmouth County on the books. So if it becomes an issue, we can certainly look into it further.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Rollmeyer.
Thank you. Very briefly, Many Mine Avenue Park, construction is underway and progressing quite quickly. The playground equipment is in place at this point. The stone base that goes below the poured-in-place safety surface is in place. The perimeter curb is in place. Contractor is next coordinating the basketball court reconstruction. And that'll complete the significant components of the park itself. They're aiming to be able to do the rubber pour ahead of the onset of colder weather. We need warm weather for that rubber surface to cure properly. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be relying on some of your in-house staff to provide some security for that rubber as it cures in the overnight hours, keeping some people off and the deer. You got to keep the deer off it as while it cures as well. So on track to deliver that park facility back to the borough and the residents within the next few weeks.
Thank you.
With regards to the road program, with the award of the contract tonight, I will advance the contracts, gain a DOT concurrence, and we'll set up a pre-construction conference with MECO Construction. Thank you.
Doug, have they chosen a color for the matting yet, or is it just going to be generic?
I believe that was all selected already at this point.
Okay, thanks. So, now, moving on to public comment. How many people are on Zoom right now?
Nine attendees.
Nine attendees, all right.
Regina Keelan, 21, King James, Lee. Mr. Murphy, you had mentioned about the first aid and the November 3rd. Did you say we have to get online and if you're interested in doing it or call somebody or have to use
how to register
the first aid or is it open to the public?
Which were we talking about, November 1st?
November 3rd, one about the tourniquets.
No, yeah, that's Stop the Bleed. That's the event down at the senior center.
So that's for
just show
anybody.
Up. Yeah, okay, anybody to hope.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. Oh, the house contest for Halloween. Are you after you announce the winners? Are you going to put it up on the website? Not so much the names of the people, but the house numbers, just so people can go around and look at the homes.
Sure. That's possible.
I don't think that you have to ask the homeowner. That's
absolutely great. I can speak with Robert.
Things people like to do with your kids.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I want to ask, I don't know if this is how you say it, Tree Town or some kind of Tree City.
Tree City USA?
Are we going to correct the number of years on the signs that we are? Because I think it just says like 40 years, and I believe it's more than 40 years, or maybe 40 plus years. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, that's a great
There's
question.
There's one sign coming in by CVS.
I'll look into that, Regina. I know Bill Thorne would know, top of his head, but I think it comes to us. I think that the True City USA signage comes from us as we recertify.
Okay.
So I don't know if maybe I'll look into it. I don't know the answer.
COVID stuff maybe.
We got new flags and a new sign since I've been on council, so I don't know what the regularity of that is.
Okay. The other thing, a couple of people had asked me are in town. I assume trick-or-treating is on the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And does it start I don't even know when the 31st
is. Monday.
It's Monday?
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to rain.
2 o'clock to 8 o'clock or 2?
There's a curfew.
There's an 8 o'clock curfew.
Right? There's no, start.
Yeah, generally starts right at the end of school.
It is.
In the school.
The ordinance that we passed last.
Exactly. Yes, the ordinance last
time. I'm not sure what it was. Yes.
I'll look it up over.
All right. And then the curfew also is for Mischief Night as well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I thought they had a starting time because of school.
I think it's 2 o'clock, though.
That sounds right.
Steve, when you were riding around town with the radio,
right.
Where was the antenna?
It was here.
Just here or
on the roof?
On the roof.
Yeah, on the roof.
It was on the roof? Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. And, are you going to leave it going for a little while to see if it's going to, different?
Yeah, it's off right now, but we can leave it on for a while. We left it on for a period of time and let, emergency management and other people know. But I think it'd be a great idea to just leave it on for a while. And if anybody wants to just tune in and kind of get used to it, it'd be a great idea. Is there background? Sorry.
No.
Music or something? No, it's pretty generic. If you ever heard those,
mm-hmm.
They're kind of boring, This is 1690, and it'll talk about all state-related things, about the emergency and what they do. It's a very generic thing just to fit in until we have something. Yeah, but it's great to listen to and to hear it.
Weather patterns or when the leaves fall off the tree, all that can affect the radio signal. So I was just wondering.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. And, we purposely went down over by the trail just to hear, and because AM is line of sight, so if you have things in the way, it'll affect it, right? And but it'll go a long way, especially at night. So that's one of the benefits of it. And everybody's got a car radio that has AM, at least nowadays. It's starting to make cars without them, I heard. So after a storm, if you have your car and you don't have a radio, you can still get in your car and listen if you really need to.
Okay.
Steele, you make a good point there. Is that where the antenna is going to stay? Above the roof here? Or I thought, can you mention something about the harbor?
Yeah, I think it seems to work very well here, so I'd like to leave it here.
Sure.
I think if it's working. The only question is, how stable is it? How do we have to secure it? We don't want to put holes in the roof, right? That sort of thing. So we're going to look at that. And as long as we have a nice, stable way to keep it in there, maybe for a big storm, we take it down, because if there are 100-mile-an-hour winds, right, we want it to work the next day. We might take it down. It comes down real easy. It's made to break down and go up again, and then we can put it up. So we've got a lot of options with it. And later on, if we move down the harbor somewhere, put it on the top of the harbor building, maybe that's an option. But we are kind of central here, and it works. So, you know, it'll be something for it to experiment with later, maybe.
Now, I have a question. I was having lunch with somebody who went to school for radio, and is it true that there's some kind of umbrella that falls over where the antenna is? Like, for instance, if it was on top of this roof, there would be an umbrella, and you can't see it.
Right.
Like, it will block a certain radius around where the antenna is?
Wouldn't necessarily block, but a vertical antenna will emanate sideways and go out. And that's really how it works.
Okay.
So it'll, and it's a transmitter, and it's a low watt, it's 10 watt transmitter, but there should be nothing. Just if you're right next to it, it's real strong, right? It's 10 watts if you have radio right there. But there should be nothing in a way. Things could interfere with it potentially, but there's not many things that will, except for lightning. Lightning is the same frequency, it's a variety of frequencies in the 20,000 kilohertz range. I do a lot of radio work too, so that's why I can't.
No, I just didn't know, yeah. I didn't know that. It happened years ago when I was in school or something. I just wanted to.
Yeah, we had a couple of ham radio operators come by. You know, Blake came by, he's got his ham license. We're talking.
Okay.
2 p.m. to 8 p.m. for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. 8 p.m. And just one more thing today. We were discussing, not we, you know, we're discussing the first aid task force at the last meeting, and afterwards I had a couple of thoughts. Somebody might turn on the microwave, that's why I have them, but I'm not exactly sure. I remember a wise man who used to be the VA in town told me one time, because I lived in the steep slope zone, just bear with me for a second, because it just, and it's the 20-inch diameter of trees. You have to get permission to cut them down, or permits, or all that. And it was after a storm, and this huge tree was like being pulled up by the roots, and we wanted to cut it down. So I have spoke with the former PA, and he said, sort of like not everything, but he goes, that whole steep slope thing, you don't really, this is my own words, not his. Really don't have to worry at that point if it is a danger to somebody's property and/or bodily to somebody. So you wouldn't have to get the permits to chop these trees down if it was immediate danger to a person or property. I think that's true. Now pertaining to the task force, since this is to me an emergency for the town, wouldn't that fall under that we can kind of do anything you want, instead of, like you were saying, for it just didn't make sense to me. For $600, Mr. Senna said that we have to go out for bid, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But like, can't we, in lieu of getting around, if you will, maybe not saying that, and to me it's a safety thing for a lot of times. So to me, I was trying to factor the same thing with the steep slope thing. Is everybody following me here?
Yeah, and I know what you're saying. I don't think it would.
Why do we have to? I don't understand why would we have to do a.
Well, we have a first aid in place right now, so it's not like immediate danger. I think that's the difference right there.
Well, plus we're talking about an ordinance versus a municipal budget, and I think it's the budgeting thing, right?
I think the exact question was, why can't we just make question, there was a request before to hire a specialist to do some research or something?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would qualify under the emergency contract provision of the local public contract law.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then just another question. I know when I was on the Board of Education, both schools, we had to go out for bid when it was a certain amount of money.
Right.
what's the certain amount, where does it lie? $500, $1,500?
To pay a professional, you have to, they have to be appointed first. And that's what the point was, you know, if you're going to appoint a professional to do something, you have to go through the fair and open process or the non-fair and open process. So that's the only point, is that there's a process to do it, however you do it. You can't just go ahead and say, you know, here
okay,
it is.
Yeah. But if we started this process back when the mayor started the task force, they could get the answers that they are looking for. I mean, it's $600, and we're still in the stalemate. And I wasn't going to get up and say too much, but I am on that committee, mm-hmm. and I'm dedicated to the mm-hmm. first aid and the mm-hmm. fire department in this town, because I think they're awesome. And I know that Chief Ubany is usually on the calls, and he's doing the best he possibly can, but he even told the committee that he doesn't get to see them back if they do in full service for like 2 or 3 years. If he can continue to do the excellent work that he's doing along with the people on mm-hmm. the first aid squad. I just think that if we put our heads together, there's so many rules and regulations with the government. It's $600. Mr. Bombs knows, Mr. Murphy knows, first meeting that somebody said it would be like $300 an hour. I said, what did I say? I'll pay for it. Mm-hmm. And the chairman of the committee stated, no, it's $600. The town put this committee together, we should be able to get it. $600 or do whatever it's needed mm-hmm. to get professional guidance. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying anything for Mr. Senna. And with all due respect, last meeting he did say, hey, well, I thought I could save the town money. You're on council somewhere else, but you're the attorney here. So these other people that are worried about saving money. But, seriously. I mean, you have volunteers on the committee. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. two up there that are on the committee. We usually need
Councilor
for
three.
I know.
Sorry.
It's the hat, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the hat.
Yeah,
kind of popping out.
For that kind of money, we should just get it done.
I mean, I just, you know, it's people's time.
It's not going
but
to be.
But yeah. You don't know. It could lead into. So.
No, but what I'm saying is that
are you committed after that?
Something that we can come up with than asking the clerk. And I appreciate it, saving money. I really honestly do. But when it comes down to trying to save our first aid, I think it's more important than trying to save $600. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm saying that in public. On this committee, if I have to lay out the $600, I want it. Because I actually think it's just something we wanted to make the first aid members feel like they're great and we know it's the job they're doing, but for the town not to go up to $600, I mean.
Ms. Keel, I understand what you're saying, and I understand what Mr. Stone is saying. You also remember the first meeting, Ed Citron said, we've got our budget, we'll just get it done.
No, I know that.
And so, I mean, that's. Yeah, so with that said, if it really has to get done, let's afraid to check out a first aid, but
well,
take it right there, right, Mr. Silva?
I'm suggesting it could be illegal, too.
Well,
no.
Do we have it in our budget?
What?
Well, we should have it on our budget.
So, it's not about the $600.
It's about $600.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah.
I don't know if this is legal. The town gives a budget or money to the first aid spot a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're still doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why don't we deduct the $600 from that since they didn't vote on weighing out the $600, which I understand they do have money in the coffers. That's all well and good. So if you're going to, I'm just throwing numbers out. If you give them $1,000, minus $600 from that and give them $400 and tell them this is for the attorneys. I don't know if you can do that, but something has to, you know, you have to think outside the box mm-hmm. what we're dealing with.
That's okay. Why I brought that up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I understand that, but at this point it's crazy. You mm-hmm. form the task force, well, I think it's great. And I remember residents in the audience when you were doing this said, well, are we going to be at this place again in January? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think we're going to be mm-hmm. here 2 to 3 years with the extra service. But mm-hmm. I don't want to diminish what
we're going to
do.
So what I would suggest is that, because those are some pretty good ideas that you have. So what I would suggest is that offline tomorrow or Monday, myself, the borough attorney, and the CFO touch base, because it's less about if the monies are there, rather more about process, procedure, and regulations, mm-hmm. what we're permitted and not permitted to do and how we do it, right? So I think between myself and the borough administrator and the CFO, we can look into those questions and maybe come up with a solution.
Okay. There's just one more thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It's public comment. I'll speak to Mr. Ferragina later.
Just another quick thing, and I'm not trying to be the smart ass. But we were I don't understand it, and it's just bothered me a great deal when we were talking about three towns getting together for coming together for one district. And everybody was rushed because we were all gonna die if it wasn't done by August 15th, so we can get it on the ballot. Can anybody just explain what's going on at this point, because everybody was rushing, including you guys, including the task force we put together for that. That's all everybody had in their mind. And I know one of the things were because Seaver, I got to get it up. But it was crazy and kooky. And at this point, we really haven't heard too much regarding So can somebody just fill us in on kind of what's going on and why wasn't this that we were rushed that it was going to be, do or die, and the town's
going
to stick
into the river. Sure. So we're talking about regionalization.
Right?
So I'll tell you where we're at currently on regionalization. So, which is not far from where we were at the last meeting. So right now, the attorneys representing the three boroughs in the school district have not identified a mediator as of this date. And that was the next step. Because if you recall, all three towns and the school were all aligned in terms of resolution and a path moving forward. After all those entities were aligned and passed their respective resolutions, the borough of Highlands basically did an about face, right? The intern said, well, we were for it, but now we're against it. So that basically halted the whole process. Okay. So the path forward that all of the attorneys agreed to was, perhaps we can settle this via mediation. They all agreed to that. They all agreed that in order to do that, because of conflict of interest with some of the attorneys, each of the entities would hire a financial expert. So we went through that process. We passed a resolution appointing Robert Beneke Economics as our financial expert. We achieved that goal. However, the effort to identify a mediator was not achieved. That's currently still in process. So our attorney has recommended two retired Superior Court judges to serve as a mediator. However, he's waiting to, I'm now reading some notes here, but I've heard, he's waiting to hear back from Highlands and the school board's counsel on his idea and proposal for that. So that's where we're at there. The goal is to have mediation process take place before Thanksgiving. Whether that goal will be achieved or not, I can't say at this time. And that's where we're at.
Yeah, but they've also delayed on their end because of this conflict. I mean, for an attorney, you can't really represent two clients in the same matter.
Correct.
Easily.
That's right.
So that's really causing a problem, and we need to ask them to do something about that. Drop one client, let them get their own attorney so they can actually be there. Because weren't they suggesting that they wouldn't even be at the mediation, that two representatives? I don't think that's right. And it's not our attorney's fault.
He forced on us.
Right. He doesn't have, our attorney doesn't have a conflict. Theirs does. So we have to insist that they straighten that out.
So I remember in the beginning of this whole process, they wanted all three towns to use the same attorney.
Right. That would have really been a disaster. Right.
Well, in the beginning, we were going to use it just for the study. We were always going to have our own attorney. It was just moving forward for the study, per se.
Yeah. But at this point, they have to get out of it.
Matt Giacobbe.
That's Mr. Giacobbe. Yeah. Now, maybe I didn't hear it right either. I remember when he was on the Jumbotron. And he said that that if he had to recommend, which I don't understand why we're even in mediation at this point, because he said right on the TV that if he, his recommendation to the council was, if we don't have 50-50 cost sharing, he would tell you guys not, that's what we need to go for. So I don't even know, another reason I was thinking about this, there's things I think about, but why are we even going through this mediation process if that's what our attorney recommended to the council in there?
We are now having a finance person look into it.
No, I understand all that and how whatever, but I'm just saying is that if that's where our original attorney, and I guess he still is for this matter, the finance board, stated if we don't have 50-50 sharing agreement, it's not the benefit of Atlantic Commons to go forth with the process. So then all of a sudden, you kind of cry boo-boo, and I'm going to say, where are you guys, and attack every single one of you up there, and attack Atlantic Highlands. All of a sudden, we're coming into a mediation. And then the other thing I just want to bring up, because I just feel, I feel sick and sad, because these are people on the Board of Education that, yes, there are elected, but they also don't get paid. So they are elected volunteers. They don't even get a stipend.
That's right.
I read a couple of things in the past week about how now the superintendent is being attacked. Now, you know, rather than I know, you might know from your wife and so on, maybe you.
The superintendent can
go forth and collect all the information she wants or he wants. They always have to come back to the Board of Education,
Boom,
lay out what they found, and the superintendent doesn't make any decisions.
Nope.
They can guide and suggest, just like the business administrator.
Yes, well, they can come out to this and then you can say, do you think, Mrs. Superintendent, do you think this is going to be beneficial to the school? They can give you their opinion, but they don't say, they didn't go to themselves, I'm just going to run out and talk to all these people about this. The school board directed them, him or her, to do that. And it's just like, it's crazy because, I mean, you guys have been all through it. It's been so many things that were said and were pinned up against Highlands. And that totally upsets me. Because it's been a process all these years forever that Highlands doesn't like Atlantic Highlands. Atlantic Highlands doesn't like Highlands. And I knew that was said, but I never had that experience between the people of Atlantic Highlands and Highlands. And it just continues. The blood, unfortunately, and I don't know how we can stop them or whatever, but I guess not until the process is settled. But I just wanted to say, if she gets
it's no different. Yeah, it's no different than any negotiations. You know, we have to sit here and with a stoic face, say nothing, and people. And the public can say whatever they want, and yet you are not allowed to break that barrier. So,
well, I just want to thank all of you for listening to me, and I appreciate it.
Okay.
Ms. Galen, before you, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I want to, if you don't mind, really quick, I just want to circle back to the first day comments, Cheryl. And really, this is more for the public as well. When that task force was created, that squad was in a far different position. There was very, very little calls being answered. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was that starts from leadership down. Mm-hmm. And what I can tell you now is that squad is completely different as far as their total answering calls. And I don't think they've missed one since the new leadership, or maybe there might be one or two that slipped through, but there really hasn't been many calls that were missed, which is a completely different turnaround from what the squad was doing before the task force. So just for the public's understanding, we are not in the same position as a squad that we were when the task force was created. Not to say that we shouldn't proceed with what you're saying.
No,
just for the public's understanding.
I mean, you have a good leader.
Yeah, 100%. I do believe that top down.
And you, both of you and Brian, Lance is always on those calls telling
100%.
I can't thank him enough.
Yeah, no, he's done a fantastic job.
It's going to be a long way until he can 24 hours. You know, to build it up more. And I hope people who are listening is to get out and volunteer.
Yeah, that's
well,
the
that's
number
it.
One issue.
You know, to piggyback off of what Councilman Murphy said, is this is an epidemic in this state.
The country.
For the first aid, for volunteers. You know, I meet with other mayors and I'll be meeting with them tomorrow night. And that's the first thing that they ask me is like, what are you doing with your first aid?
Yeah.
You know, because they're at a panic mode.
Can I just make a suggestion since you're
meeting
with all of those people? Why don't you suggest to write a combination letter to the bigwigs in Trenton and say, you know what, why don't you tweak this somehow? Because it can't be done here, but it
you're
can
right.
be done in Trenton.
Absolutely.
So, thank you.
That's, okay.
And just to expand on that further, we've tried three times now to get DCA on the phone.
Yeah.
At least. I don't get any response from them.
Well, maybe some Democrats or Republicans need to get together and go down and knock on some doors and Republicans allow some people to come in, and Democrats allow everyone, and maybe get a bill together. And I think what's happening is putting the health and the well-being of New Jerseyans at risk. And that, and what it's doing is it's making hospitals and these service ambulances a lot richer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So 100%. Okay. Yes, sir.
I swear I'm not being a lot. Vito Calcero, 20 East Highland. I want to piggyback on what Steve was saying about the AM radio. I think the most critical part about it is the fact that in an emergency, if the building loses power, it has a backup battery that lasts for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it does.
So in the event that there is a superstorm standing, or some other...
That's 10 years ago.
Yeah, or other tragedy there, with the radio will still be able to work, because you'll still be able to go in the car. But like Steve said, no matter whether you're low or high, and still get that relatively clear reception. Do you know what retired judges have been proposed in the mediation?
I do not.
Okay.
Those names weren't supplied to me. And even if they were, I'd feel uncomfortable, because it's more of a personnel thing at this point. If or when a retired judge is appointed as a mediator, and it may not be a retired judge, I'm sure we'll find out right away, and we'll let everybody know. But I wasn't given the names.
Okay. And similar to what James said, I was at the Blue Mass, and when I saw Lance and the EMT guys jet out after the
service. Mr. Burr. It was Michael Burr and Mr. Hubney.
Excellent. And then they did it so quickly they were able to get to the service right after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very impressive.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'll let them know. Mr. Fisher. I was going to say, I'm sure, I doubt you're unprepared.
Yeah, but you got to cross off the stuff that Regina had asked that you were not going to ask.
Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. Literally, just a few questions. Any update on Ocean Boulevard construction for 2023?
No updates at this point.
No word yet. Has there been any signal from the State Cannabis Regulatory Commission about when the new rules would be released to the municipalities to start rewriting their ordinances?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
So I think we believe in Atlantic Islands, because we're almost in November, that any new ordinance that would come before us would be in next year, because we're so crunched, and to allow the public the most amount of time to publicly comment on it. We won't think
right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't go year to year. You can't introduce in 22 and adopt in 23.
Honestly, with the holidays coming very quickly, at the state level, it's probably not going to come out next year either.
I'm attending two sessions, I'm sure Steve is too, at the League of Municipalities, mm-hmm. where we'll probably get better clarity on that. And I just checked the calendar to see, and it's both at the municipal level and at the state level.
Yeah, I was at a conference yesterday, and they had no updates. And we better move fast, because now they're talking about psychedelics and growing mushrooms in your backyard. So
I have mushrooms.
Things are moving fast.
Mr. Broderick brought up the last meeting about approaching New Jersey Natural Gas for potentially increasing the funding for South Avenue Park. I think the budget was $109,000. That budget was created like 3 years ago. We've had probably between in and out between 10 and 20%, inflation. So we might have a good argument.
So a formal request for additional funding has been made.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard back yet from NJNG, but a formal request went out.
The Blue Mass was very well attended, not only by volunteers but also by our residents from the surrounding towns. And I was just curious if we did make a donation to the Shore Casino for the refreshments. There had to be 150 people there afterwards.
We did not make the donation. I'm not sure if the council wants to elaborate.
Yeah, I can. So actually, under the New Jersey Constitution, the borough just can't give money to another organization. What oftentimes they will do is purchase refreshments or items like that, like if the borough holds a luncheon for employees and stuff like that, but you can't just write a check to another organization because it prohibits the donation of money. But I
already wish you could, though, right?
I don't know what they did, and I'm not there to
me. I know you do. Harbor Commission paid the bill for the boat owners party the week before.
So they hosted a party.
They
hosted a party and invited the boat owners. I think that's what happened, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. So, like, what was suggested was the town write a check and donate part of the money for Blue Mass. Right. And what I advised was you can't do that constitutionally, but what. It's different from what Harbor did, apparently, because Harbor purchased something and invited people to come to them instead of, I'm writing a check to somebody else to pay for something. So,
Mr. Fisher, just to kind of go this way on this a little bit, because I've been thinking a lot about this since you brought it forward quietly, and you know what I mean by that. And what I think that there's some things that maybe need to be analyzed about the Blue Mass, and unfortunately it's always the same night as my board meeting, so this year was the first year I was actually able to attend because there was an extra week, an extra Wednesday this month. Mm-hmm. But there are, as a municipality, you know, publicly, this is a mass that's held every year at the Catholic Church in Atlantic Highlands, and the Knights of Columbus are the organizers of it. So I think maybe if we want to talk about being more inclusive in how we honor our first responders, and I think having a Blue Mass is beautiful, and it was a beautiful ceremony, and I enjoyed being there and after, but maybe we need to think more holistically about how we support and honor our first responders in partnership with, because again, it's always held at our church. It's not, and we invite Bayshore municipalities, the Coast Guard, the Park Service, so there's a chapel out at Sandy Hook sometimes. Like maybe all of our municipalities that support this mass could look at a way to think about it more holistically is all I'm saying.
Well, if the mass is put on by the church and the knights, then that's their thing. If we want to do something else in another form.
Does everybody know what I mean about what I was saying about the distinction between what Harbor did? I didn't know what Harbor did, but Mr. Fisher explained it. They had their own event and invited people as opposed to us paying somebody else to hold an event.
I totally understand what you're saying, but I'm also saying that when we talk about holding the municipality responsible for, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have some contribution or do something to honor, but
maybe something different.
But it might be something different or something adjacent or something.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or we rotate. But I don't know what that is.
But wouldn't the celebration be adjacent to the Blue Mass?
It could be. It could be, but we weren't separating those.
Yeah, we weren't hosting that reception. So that's the difference of what I think Jason's saying.
It's the night. It was the Knights of Columbus that hosted that, which
many
is
of us were
affiliated with St. Agnes OLPH.
Right.
Well,
it's our volunteers.
Well, it's not just our volunteers.
But that's also why we were there in attendance to honor
them. So it is our volunteers. In addition to a few other towns.
Right.
Okay.
Okay,
you answered my question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I did find out after the advice at the last meeting about the negotiations between the church and the town regarding St. Agnes.
What do you mean by the church, Mr. Fisher?
The church. I don't know.
I define it as the leadership of the church, meaning the diocese or the church leadership at our local churches, in case anyone was wondering what I meant.
I didn't talk to them because I honestly don't know any of them, but someone else did and wrote an article about it. So if you're interested in the information,
go ahead.
It's in the article.
I appreciate she continues to use a good picture of me when she goes after me.
And as far as leadership goes, that article is...
So I would interject and ask the council to please refrain from making any comments as this is an item that's discussed in executive session. Thank you.
But this is what I was told to do, so I'm just getting back to the people that take you.
Okay. Thank you. Any hands on Zoom?
Not this time, Mayor.
Okay, so I right now need a motion and a second to go into executive session. I'll move it.
So the resolution is to go into executive session to discuss potential acquisition of real property. approximate duration, 30 minutes. No formal action will be taken after. So we can go forward. We had a motion and a second. We can go forward with roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Will not. Yes.
Ms. Hornleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
I see Mr. Crowley there. He's there.
Yeah, let the record reflect Mr. Crowley during the meeting.
And Mr. Baum?
Yes.
Okay. I will not be here.
Okay. So, if I can ask all the council table to immediately go to the executive session meeting room.
Immediately. No bathroom break.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. They're working the.
I know. Council room.
That room?
He's gone.
You have a quorum.
He left me on the road.
I'm good.
Can I get a motion to come out of executive session?
Still moved.
Do I have a second? Can I get an all in favor?
Aye.
Can I get a motion to close the meeting? Second?
Dougherty.
All in favor?
Aye.
Have a great week.
Good night.
Go Phillies.
Go Phillies.
And Eagles.
You got phone, bro. You got phone, bro.
Mr. Leinster, seeing if you catch, seeing if you're doing any formal action.